Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I am your host, Ken Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network. Now, it's been a week. I was supposed to be on vacation this week, and yet I still found myself working. I think I clocked 38 hours for the week, which, boy, I was pleased about that. You know, there's nothing better than working for your vacation. But whatever, it had to be done, so it was. I hope everybody else who's on vacation, because basically everybody else in the world is on vacation this week. Everybody had their vacation hours left. If you're not taking them this week, you're losing them. So you should be taking them. Those of you who had vacation time, I hope you had a far less work event week and hopefully a much happier one. It is the week before Christmas, and so we've what I should say is this is going to be the last live show for the year. I'm not planning on doing a show next week. It's, you know, in between Christmas and New Year's, and what I've typically seen is that show, everybody's busy doing whatever, and whether it's a Christmas party or a New Year's party or a whatever party, most people aren't available or around to listen to the show anyway. So I'm going to put together a best of for next week. And that's no big deal, right? I mean, there's plenty of shows that people have missed. And typically what I do is I go back and look for the shows the least number of people listen to and clip out the best of it and put together into a best of show. So hopefully next week you guys will all enjoy that show. But for that, plenty of other stuff to do. And who's sending me? I'll tell you what, people... They send me text messages and voicemails and everything else in the middle of the show. I don't get it. I don't understand why people don't know. I'm not going to answer my text messages in the middle of the show. But if you'd like, we do have the chat room open, so if you'd like to jump in there. And also, if you'd like to call in tonight, the number here is area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326, and if you'd like to talk when you're prompted, you need to hit number one, and be patient, because Blog Talk is thinking about how it updates on my side. I don't always see it, and there is a strange delay involved in all of it, so just be aware that if you'd like to call in, that's how to do it, and be patient once you do it. We do enjoy having people call in tonight. I guess before we get too serious, I should go ahead and go through the political rhetoric generator that we do every week. The political rhetoric generator is it's a website that generates random political rhetoric for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time. And it's always entertaining. It throws together kind of randomish type stuff and typical catchphrases and things that politicians say, and that's why we like to use it, because it's entertaining. So this week's randomly generated political rhetoric is, I will not stand for an America where drug dealers and MSNBC cronies can make a mockery of our postage stamps. They don't always make sense, but they are entertaining. So again, if you'd like to call in, 858-683-1326. Oh, let's see here. Where do you even start? I guess we can start right here. In Ohio, and this has been something I've been following for a while, there's people, the car dealers are trying to block Tesla Motor Company from being able to sell cars directly to the public through their own outlet stores. Essentially, the way car dealerships traditionally work is that the auto manufacturers make the car, and then they sell those cars to a car dealership, and the car dealership is then responsible for selling those cars. The Tesla model, Tesla Motor Company, and for those of you who don't know about Tesla Motor Company, they're one of the original electric car companies, original modern day electric car companies. And they were done through private ventures originally. They did take some of the bailout money, but they paid it right back off, which was good. The point is, I've always been kind of a fan of Tesla Motor Company. I think it's an interesting concept, and they do make nice-looking cars. You know, of course, the big problem is any new technology like this, the batteries in electric cars are brutal as far as how much they cost. And there are some other issues with them and whatever, but the point is that Tesla is probably one of the best, if not the best, electric car out there. And as such, they kind of do everything differently, right? They're a different kind of car company. Elon Musk, the CEO or COO, I don't know exactly what he is, president, CEO, whatever he is of Tesla, is a little bit eccentric, a little bit different, and that's okay. He came up with the idea of a Hyperloop. For those that aren't familiar with the Hyperloop, it was going to be a vacuum sealed 660-something mile-an-hour bullet train from San Francisco to New York. I think it was San Francisco, but I know it was somewhere on the west coast of New York, and that it would have been very fast, which is obviously legal, and it would have been very affordable because it wouldn't have taken much power. When everything's in a vacuum, it takes far less power to get things moving and then to keep them moving. So the point is that because he does things differently, one of the things that his car does differently, that Tesla Motor Company does different, is they don't do the traditional dealer model. Their model is to sell directly to the public. And they've been selling directly to the public off of their website for a while, but now they've started moving into having actual physical dealerships. And the auto dealers that are out there, the existing incumbent auto dealers, really, really don't like that there's a car company selling direct to the public. They're very upset about this. And so I watched this happen in Texas, and then now in Ohio, it's even closer to home, watching how the auto dealers are fighting this issue. First they tried to get the legislature to pass a law to outright ban direct sales of automobiles. And that failed. Now they have filed a lawsuit in court to try to stop the same type of ban. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't see how this is good for consumers. I'm as a free marketeer, and one who believes in voluntary association and voluntary purchases. If Tesla wants to sell their cars direct to the public, then so be it. They should be allowed to do that. And, you know, hey, for that matter, if Tesla wants to use a dealership or allow someone to be in my field, in the information technology, they call a value-added reseller, which means you're not getting it for the cheap price, but you're getting other goods and services and benefits for buying it from us. If they want to have VARs, value-added reseller, I have no problem with that. I really don't. If you want to sell direct, great. If you want to go with VARs, great. You want to go with dealerships, fine, whatever. What right would the government have to step in and interfere in a transaction between Tesla Motor Company and the individual buyer? And I would say there's absolutely no reason why that type of transaction should be illegal. Because in a free market, it'll be decided by the consumers which way is the better way. And on top of that, and the silly thing about it, these aren't cheap cars. I'm trying to remember the price tag is somewhere around $50,000 or $60,000. And I don't see how the traditional dealerships are even really that worried about it, because most of the cars they're selling are not in that price range. Most of the cars they're selling, you know, your Chevy dealers, your Ford dealers, your Dodge dealerships, they're selling cars that are somewhere between $17,000 and $35,000. That's what they sell. Anyway, it's amazing to me that, you know, companies use the law to try to prevent competition from coming into the market. And sure, who doesn't want to make it so that their competition gets legislated against? Who doesn't want to make it so that they have a leg up on all their competition? I mean, certainly there's that desire exists for everyone. But what would happen, and this is the key thing for those dealerships to remember, what happens if the shoe's on the other foot? What happens if next time someone's legislating against you? And that's really, I think, the key thing for the dealerships and in this entire situation. Being lost is the idea that, hey, you may, even if you win this battle this time, you may not win the next one. You may be the guy being legislated against unfairly because some other group decides that you shouldn't be allowed to do X, Y, or Z. It's short-sighted to try to use the government to protect yourself from your competition. It is extraordinarily short-sighted to do that. It's also, in my opinion, morally repugnant. Why should government be involved in preventing a transaction? Now, these dealerships, they're worried, I assume, that this is the end of their big commissions and markups and everything else. So what does that really mean? It means dealerships are really going to actually have to offer something to make them worthwhile. Because today, the only thing they really offer is, hey, we sell cars here. Oh, hey, we'll throw in a year's worth of car washes or oil changes. Maybe it will force them to change their model to be more competitive, to bring better goods or services to the consumer. Is that a bad thing? Is it bad that competition drives businesses to better serve their customers? That's not bad at all. That's a good thing. We want that. It's a very good thing. So anyway, that's, I guess, where we start tonight. Boy. It's funny because one of the arguments that goes on constantly, you know, we'll take the business angle out of this. Let's change the scenario a little bit, the concept of legislating morality. There are a bunch of people that want to legislate their particular brand of morality on others, believe that their way of living is the best way of living, and therefore everyone should have to live that way. Now, I'm not disputing that their way of living may be a better way of living for them, that they may live a better life because they have chosen a way that works great for them. What they're failing to recognize is that what works for person A doesn't always work for person B. What works in city X doesn't always work in city Y. For that matter, what works in one country doesn't work in another. And so we shouldn't be cramming legislation down on top of people to force people to live the way we want them to. It doesn't work in the long term. You're just oppressing people. You're oppressing what you view to be a negative way to live. But what others would choose willfully, and even if it's not fully informed, it's their choice. If they're an adult, it is their responsibility to care of themselves. And it is their responsibility to deal with the consequences of their poor decisions. That's how it's supposed to work. It's checks and balances. It's decisions and liability. And whenever you get into this topic about government shouldn't legislate morality, you'll have someone talk about, well, you know, murder's morality, and boy, government shouldn't regulate murder, what? No. See, and that will muddy that issue on purpose. What governments are for, governments exist to protect property rights. and specifically to protect property. That's why they exist. Think about that. Why else do you need the government in general? Governments exist to protect our land from those who would take it by force otherwise. Governments exist to protect our resources. Same scenario. Governments exist to prosecute or to take action when someone does take something that is not rightfully theirs from you. That's the core function of government. Rewinding all the way back to our founding fathers, you can see that that's what our government was built to do. It was built to protect individuals from being infringed upon by other individuals. And by infringed upon, I mean that their property is protected. It's very easy and obvious. You go back and look, that's what it was all about. Grant rights. We have inalienable rights. One of those inalienable rights is the right to own property. And government serves to protect that right. Do you remember the Declaration of Independence? They say that the governments exist to protect the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, they changed property to pursuit of happiness because of the fear of reinforcing slavery. Because at the time, slavery was viewed as a property right. Thankfully, society, our society, has evolved to understand that people cannot be property, except of themselves. You can have property of the self, but you can't have property that is just somebody else. That's not right. And thankfully, our society has moved past that point and understands that you can't own another human being. But government doesn't grant rights. It protects them. That's the point. It protects property, first and foremost. It does not, nor can it, enforce morality. There have been anti-sodomy laws on the books for many, many decades. Yet, they're never enforced. They can't be. Unless government sets up a camera in your bedroom and somebody is in charge of monitoring everything you do in your bedroom, government can't enforce morality. And I would say nor should it. As an individual, I have the right to engage in behaviors that I choose, that I willingly choose, even if those behaviors are to a self-destructive end. I am my own property. You are your own property. And on your property, you have the right to do with your property as you so choose. Right? You disagree? I certainly hope not. I certainly hope that you don't think that you, as an individual, are part of a cog of a machine that you must be forced to participate in that machine, whether you want to or not, and in a way that you may or may not choose. Being a cog in a machine is not what I am. And if someone tries to force me to be a cog in a machine, I'm going to be the guy tossing a wrench into the gears. You are too. Because we don't want to be part of some machine. We're not part of our existence is not so that we can make someone else rich or to work towards some sort of ant farm style, everybody works for the queen. That's not what we are. We're individuals. And certainly there are individual benefits to working within a system. And there are individual benefits for choosing to work in that system. Being compensated for labor that people find valuable, that's cool. That's what I do. I do a lot of work, as I mentioned. I was on vacation this week and only put in 38 hours of work. Because, at the end of the day, I work to be compensated. And if I don't like my working conditions, I have the right and the ability to seek employment elsewhere. You see, if you're a cog in a machine, you lose that right because you're damaging the machine if you choose to do anything other than what the machine tells you to do. If you do anything other than what the machine believes is the most efficient use of your time. That's why you don't want to be a cog in the machine. You'll have people say, yeah, but we're all in this together. You know, we're all on this planet together. Yeah, we are. But trying to micromanage the individual lives of individuals across the planet, billions and billions of people, is not only unreasonable, huge violation of the rights of those billions of people. And certainly if you're the guy on top, you like that idea. Oh, yeah, hey, I can run the lives of billions of people, and they all work for me. Sure. But what about the billions of people who don't want to be controlled, who don't want to be cogs in the machine? We as individuals freely associate. We as individuals work of our own volition, doing whatever we so choose, though it may not be efficient for the state or for the machine in general. We get to decide. We, individuals, each one of us, gets to decide how we want to use our time. And no one owns that except you. We've seen what happens when a country tries to force people to work in ways that they don't want to. It doesn't work. Inevitably, it cannot work. People resent that they're a cog in the machine. It's not who we are. It's not who we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be cogs in the machine. We're not machines. We're people. And that's important to remember. We don't exist to serve the state. We don't exist to serve anyone. That's not why we're here. We exist to live our lives in the way that we see fit. And typically, at least in Western culture, our goal is to have it so that our children live an even better life than we led. That's typically been the goal. And that's not a bad goal. It's a good goal. Liberty, freedom, and benefiting someone else voluntarily. Because if we work as individuals to better ourselves and to provide a better foundation for our generations to come after us, and then they work in a way that they so choose and do the same, then we all benefit. But it's done so voluntarily, and that's the key, voluntarily. No big master, no puppeteer is telling us what to do. Critical difference. In the end, you may have even ended up in either system. You may have ended up doing the exact same work, right? Even in a system where it's top-down, they tell you what to do, right? I'll use my example of my own life. Maybe in a communist-style, you know, the state tells me what to do, I end up in IT anyway. Okay. but that doesn't mean I'm happy about it. It's an interesting thing because people often will do the right thing, even though the law, or whether or not the law existed. And in fact, when they feel forced to do it, I don't know about you guys, I'm that way. When I'm forced to do it, I feel a lot less happy about doing it, even though I would have done it anyway. I mean, that goes down to stupid things like seatbelt laws. I can do math. That's why I wear a seatbelt. But I do kind of resent the fact that I'm forced to do so at the threat of being pulled over, annoyed, and fined. I'd rather just be left alone to go, hey, I know the math. It's a better bet to have your seatbelt on. That's a good thing. That's the right way to let individual adults make those decisions for themselves. We don't need a government to act as our surrogate parent. You know, when you're a child, you have to listen to what you don't have to, but in theory, you should be listening to what your parents are telling you to do. And your parents are acting on your behalf, making decisions for you, because you are not mature enough to make those decisions for yourself. Right? And that's the whole difference between a child and an adult, is the maturity to be able to make certain decisions for yourself. And because the government isn't very good at being able to measure strange metrics and that kind of thing, they do, and I always say, government's great at one size fits all. Well, government has created laws that have decided that you are an adult at age 18. Now, some people don't mature until later, and some mature much earlier. But in government one size fits all land, 18 is legal adult. As a parent, I make decisions for my children, and I talk to them and I work with them. I don't just say, you'll do this because that's not how I am. But the point is that I don't need a surrogate parent in my life. I am an adult. Whether I make a good decision or a bad decision, it is my decision to make. We don't want a nanny state. Because a nanny state is where the government makes every decision for you. What you eat, what you drink, how much, where, why. Would you live a better life? On average, probably. Not as an individual, because again, government doesn't do the whole individual thing very well. But on a one-size-fits-all way, yeah. You'd probably live a longer, healthier life if you were forced to only be allowed to consume what government allowed you to eat. But as individuals, we can make those same choices. And as individuals, we can do that. Would you really want a government with the power to tell you what to eat and what not to? I don't. I like being able to make bad decisions. And I live with the consequences of those bad decisions. And I think that's the point. Government can't legislate morality. Government can't do anything but one-size-fits-all stuff. And we don't want one-size-fits-all because as individuals, we're not all the same size. And these policies don't all fit. When it comes to taking your property or doing damage to your property, yeah, government does a very good job because it's a clear-cut thing. Did they hurt your property? Yes or no. One size fits all. But when it comes to the nuances, government is not good at the nuances, nor can it be. In a country of hundreds of millions of people, you cannot put a policy in that only helps people. It's impossible. You are hurting someone with every law that is passed at that level. It's inherent being harmed. It could do more harm, good than harm. That could be. But you're still harming somebody. And that's not cool. Well, I just noticed we're below the hour break here. All right. Listen, when we come back, I got more on the nanny state, and much more. If you want to call in tonight, by the way, the number here is area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326 to talk about any of this stuff. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network. We'll be back here in just a few moments. Hang tight.
Pounding away.
Impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, and we're back. You are listening to Liberty Umbrella on the My View Matters Radio Network. And we do thank you for tuning in. If you are listening on podcast, we are here basically every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, next week will be a best of show, but starting in the first of the year, we are here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. And I should mention also that there are other shows on the network as well. Monday through Wednesday is Ed Springsteen with the Ed Springsteen Show, and on Thursday is Dale the Truth with the Thursday Night Truth Show. And all of those shows are on at 7 p.m., and they're all basically right here at the My View Matters Radio Network. So, getting rolling back to it here, we were mentioning, talking about the nanny state at the end of the bottom of the hour. And one of the issues that I've been on for a long, long time, the smoking ban issue. And certainly I understand that people don't like smoke. I get it. I personally am a smoker, and I always put that out there ahead of time. So, you know, I don't want to have people come back and say, you said this, and, oh, you were just a smoker, blah, 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 whatever. That's not at all what this is about. And the issue itself is not about smoking at all. To me, the issue is about property. A business owner owns their property or leases that property from a property owner. And in that scenario, the person who owns the property has the primary right to decide what activities occur on their property. Does that make sense to everybody? I hope everybody gets that, right? It's in your own home. Who decides what the policies are in your own home? It's the people who own it. The people that own the property decide what goes on there. Property owner has the right to ask people to leave. And likewise, those that are there have the right to leave at any time. If you don't let someone leave, that's kidnapping. And if a property owner asks someone to leave and they refuse, that's trespassing. Those laws exist, and they're common sense. Again, property rights. It's all about protecting your right to your property. So when it comes to smoking, and specifically the smoking bans, it's all been done in the interest, supposedly, of public health. I am not one to run around and say that smoking is not bad for you. And in fact, I would not say that smoking is good for you, or I definitely wouldn't say that. But what I would say is that if you don't like the activities that are taking place on someone's property, specifically private property, whether that's closed to the public or open to the public, it is private property, then you as an individual have the right to go somewhere else. You as an individual have the right to use your two feet and walk right out the door. And that can be anything. Anything. It could be the smoking policy. It could be the service. It could be the price. It could be what game they have on TV or whatever, whatever show they have on TV. Be that you decided you didn't want to be there. That's okay. You, as an individual, have the right to leave someone else's property at any time that you want. Any time that you want. You have that right. A property owner has the right to ask you to leave at any time for any reason. They just might think you look funny, and they want you to leave. And if you refuse, you're trespassing. And that's easy, right? It's common sense. And then we introduce things like smoking bans, where ostensibly we're trumping the right to the private property with public health concerns. That's ostensibly why they're doing this. However, what's come out here recently, and I've always been a little bit dubious of it, what's come out recently is that the studies supposedly showing harm from secondhand smoke are on shaky ground. And in many ways, that makes sense to me. Like anything, concentration matters, right? How much of something and what percentage of concentration it is make all the difference in the world. There are some things that your body cannot tolerate at all, and even in very, very small doses, are deadly. There are other things that your body can take a whole lot of, but if you get too much or overdose, you will die or be in danger of dying. And it makes sense that someone who is a primary user versus someone who just comes into secondary contact, the person coming into secondary contact would be exposed to a far less percentage or concentration than the primary user did. And that the majority of the harm will happen to a primary user. And that's just, I mean, I hope that makes sense to everybody. It seems like common sense to me. But, and I've had them tell me this to my face on television, according to the smoking ban nannies, there's no such thing as a difference in concentration, which is completely illogical. They'll tell you that concentration doesn't matter. They'll tell you there's no amount of air filtration possible to make it so that somewhere that's been smoked in is, you know, not quote-unquote dangerous. Because in their eyes, even one tiny molecule is too much. And that's unreasonable. It really is. And so the whole thing, there's new articles coming out, new data coming out that's starting to really question whether the secondhand smoke thing is real at all, if there are real harms. And some of my folks, some of the folks that I've dealt with on this issue who are against the smoking ban have been saying this all along, and that's fine. You know, and I've always said, if you can get me some proof of that, I'll talk about it. Well, now I have the proof. But even still, right, even whether or not it's harmful for you, and I've said this all along, I don't care if primary or secondhand smoke is bad or good for you. It does not matter to me. A property owner, the right to allow that behavior on their property or not. You, as a consumer or as an individual, have the right to enter that business or that person's home or whatever it is or not. That is a voluntary relationship. If you don't like smoke, then don't go there. A friend of mine, another talk show host with a much bigger show than this, but a friend of mine was talking about banning kids from restaurants. And that's something I had a laugh when I heard that, because that was something that we talked about early on in the smoking ban fight. Was, you know, just because something doesn't make it you comfortable doesn't mean you should be able to pass a law to ban them. It's up to the property owner to deal with that situation. If two guests are unable to resolve their differences for whatever reason, then the property owner, the primary arbiter, right? It's their property, so they're the ones who have to step in and say, look, you guys need to resolve this, or I can resolve this. This is what goes and this is what doesn't. Or, hey, you know what? If you guys can't resolve this, I need you to both leave. Right? And that's not an uncommon occurrence. I mean, when two patrons actually do get into such a situation, it's not uncommon for the property owner to just ask them both to go if they can't solve their problems. Because the property owner doesn't have the responsibility, the legal responsibility, to deal with it. They just have a legal responsibility of what happens on their property. their primary interest is protecting their property. And that's what this issue comes down to, is private property. And what a shock. If you've looked at any scientific data, any studies done, if you have any insight as to how things are happening in the scientific world these days, I had a friend of mine tell me, boy, it's been almost a decade ago now, that all science is now pay for play. In other words, you get paid based on the results of your study. If you do a study and the people that are commissioning the study don't like the results, you don't get paid. And what a horrible way for science to be done. What a horrible way for science to be done. To the idea that you can't trust anything anymore. That's the real problem. You can't trust results, but you have to go find out who paid for the survey to find out if they had some axe to grind. Did they set out to prove their hypothesis and paid for the study that proved it while ignoring the ones that didn't? And that happens, and that's horrible for science. It's horrible. All right, shifting gears. We've got 12 minutes left. All right, so shifting gears here. Everybody, I am sure, heard about the Duck Dynasty issue by now. I mean, good God, if there was ever an issue that was really a non-issue, it was this one. I support his right to say whatever he darn well pleases, and I support A&E's right to put whoever they want on their airways. Is that easy enough to say? I mean, they're a private company. If they want to censor him because his beard got too long, or he trimmed his beard, or he looked at him funny, or he started winking at him, or whatever, or just because they got tired of him, right? They can cancel him, tell him to go away, whatever. There's no legal responsibility of A&E to put this man on their airways. And they can decide to terminate that contract for any reason whatsoever. Who cares? And you, as a consumer, have the right to react to that in any way, shape, or form that you so choose, so long as it's peaceful, right? I mean, don't go around doing bad things. But what you can do is go out and watch something else. Boycott the whole station. Boycott the advertisers that are on that station. You can do any of that. Legally, that is all cool and up to you. That's fine. But boy, I mean, this thing created some serious, serious flack, and it really drowned out everything else that was going on. Just simply amazing how loud this was. All the while, things going on. There was another drone attack on another wedding in Afghanistan. Killed innocent people at a wedding. Did you hear anything about that in the news? Maybe you heard a blurb. But the rest of the news was overwhelmed by Duck Dynasty. Did you hear that NDAA 2014 got crammed through during this whole debacle? While everybody's distracted, NDAA 2014 gets crammed through, fast-tracked in. President signed it, the Senate 85-14. And, you know, it's just amazing. You know, everybody's worried about Duck Dynasty. Everybody's worried about everything else that doesn't matter, about what a private company and an individual who works for that company, that relationship, everybody's worried about that. Meanwhile, you're being distracted from the fact that your government is continuing to take away your rights and actually working to make it more itself more efficient than taking those rights away. The NDAA 2014 version. Let's see here. What are the fun things it did? Provision that would have helped shut down Gitmo. That's not happening. Let's see here, more stuff on the NSA databases, makes things more straightforward. It's basically takes what was already there and makes it more efficient. So all the problems, indefinite detentions, the spying, everything else, still there. Still going strong. But you didn't hear about that in the news, did you? Of course not. We were all too busy worrying about A&E and the Duck Show. When I say we, it wasn't me. I didn't care. I never even watched that show. I don't even really watch TV. But let's see. Yeah. So the point is, folks, don't get wrapped up in private. The A&E thing just drove me crazy. Everybody getting wrapped up in that. And a lot of people, a lot of from my friends, political friends on both sides of the spectrum, or all over the spectrum, I should say, got caught up in that. And who cares? I mean, really, at the end of the day, who cares? If you like the Duck guys, hey, you know what? This wasn't their first show. It doesn't have to be their last one. I saw something about where Glenn Beck had said that they could come be on the Blaze TV network. So it's not like they're going to go away. It's just funny. That's all. People get worked up over silly things, and I have to believe that in part it was done on purpose. They lathered everybody up into a fervor so that they could push NDAA through, because NDAA is not a popular bill. It's not. The majority of Americans are turning against this big government nannyism and this watchful eye where we're all considered a suspect. The country's turning away from that, and that's good. But we're still distractible as a country. And that, I guess, is the point. When there's these big distractions like this, you got to cut through and look at what the heck else is going on. What else is going on out there? Anyway, we have a few minutes left here, and I wanted to get to a handful of different things. First of all, the deadline to re-register to vote, to be able to vote in next year's primaries or internal primaries or whatever the heck you do, right, depending on your party. The deadline, legally, in the state of Kentucky, is December 31st. But seeing as some of the offices probably won't be open, I would highly recommend getting your voter registration cards in by the end of this week, probably Friday. Monday is probably the real cutoff. I'd imagine that most of the state offices, or many of them, will be cutting out early on Tuesday the 31st. So, at least I think 31st is Tuesday, now that I say that. Yes, Tuesday the 31st. So I would definitely, if you're going to re-register to vote, you can go down to your clerk's office and ask them for a voter registration card. And if you're planning on running for office next year, you have to have that registration done before the end of this year. That's the law. So if you're planning on doing that, go do it. One of the interesting things for me is the people who demand that I spend my time focused on a particular issue. And I guess I will close the show with this. I had some polling stuff. That can wait. It's not. It's early. Real quick, I guess I should mention, right now Mitch McConnell is beating Matt Bevin in the primary, according to the public policy poll that was taken, by a 2-to-1 margin. It's 53-26. 61% of Kentuckians have no opinion of Matt Bevin. So it can still change, but I don't know. And, wow, what a shock. Mitch McConnell is horribly, horribly, horribly unpopular in the state of Kentucky. Shocker. Anyway, so I wanted to wrap up on this. The demanding other people spend their time in certain ways. This kind of ties into the whole thing, and it's really interesting. I get, in my role, doing this show, In my role as the state chair of the Libertarian Party of Kentucky, which I am, for those that may be new and not know that, I get a lot of people who demand I do X, Y, or Z. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. You need to do that. Well, folks, here's the thing. In neither role, neither the radio show you're listening to now, nor in the Libertarian Party as the state chair, I don't get paid for either of those. I do what I can. Now, if you pay me, I can do a better job, but you're going to have to pay me. The alternative is that I do listen to these things, and I do consider them, and I think, you know, try to compare them against the core things that I already do, and boy, would that be more effective or differently effective than what I'm doing today, and should I shift my priorities? And I listen to those things, but when you come at it as a matter of, well, you're an idiot if you don't do X, Y, Z, you know, that kind of turns me off. I don't know about you guys, but when somebody comes to me and says, hey, you're an idiot because you're not doing X, Y, Z, I'm more apt to just, you know, give them a hand gesture and move along. And I, you know, won't be waving. Anyway, the point is that if you as a liberty activist want people to focus on your issue, then it is up to you, to sell that issue to other people. That's in general. If you want people to follow what you're doing, then you need to develop the case for it, develop talking points, and work to get people on your side. And I've worked with people in the past to do exactly that, and I've offered those services to others. But you can't force people, because it's truly ironic if you could, you can't force people to focus on a different liberty issue than they're already focused on, or a different issue in general. It can't be done. When I am spending my time voluntarily, I am a volunteer, and I only am responsible in the end to what I believe is right. Even in my role as state chair, I do the things that I think are right. And if people disagree with me, that's cool. Then run against me. Do the things you think are right. But I would ask you to do those things before you run so that people see that you're serious about it. I mean, if you're going to take a serious poke at it, that's the way to do it. But that's the funniest thing. Look, if you want to change something, you've got to step up and do it. And I encourage you, all of you, to step up and do it. In 2014, things can change, but only if we work together when we can and if you take the initiative to do it. Folks, it's the end of the show. Have a good new year. See you next year.